You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Congrats right now to caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Dial. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to opening night for the Washington Capitals. A week from today, Wednesday, October 8th, they're taking on the Bruins. All fans in attendance are getting a schedule magnet. For tickets in the complete Capitals schedule, visit thefandc.com. This is courtesy of the Washington Capitals.
This radio program right here, it's the Grant Danny Show. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Time for the Beltway Blitz. There's a lot going on in D.C. sports. Let's start on the diamond. And to discuss the Nats on a huge news day, Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post joins us now. Spencer, you were over at Paul Toboni's introductory press conference today. Let's just start with him, and then we'll get to the big story of the day, which was ownership speaking for the first time in a long time. What did you make of the new president of baseball ops?
Yeah, frankly, I was really impressed. It's hard to go up there when you haven't really put a plan in place, per se. But I think a lot of the things that he alluded to were really smart. I think he was fair in kind of assessing that, hey, he can't necessarily put a timeline out there or say, hey, we're going to be ready to compete for October this year, anything like that. But I think the overall philosophy, and based on what I've heard from people around the game, the kind of aptitude for aligning within an organization, emphasizing areas where the Nats have really struggled, which is player development and scouting, to be so on top of it in that realm. And just kind of the way he spoke, it all impressed me and kind of stood out to me as someone who is ready to lead an organization at, 35 years old.
What does fully supported by ownership mean?
Yeah, it's a great question, right? What it means in a larger baseball context is probably different from what it means in this context, which I think is what we're alluding to a little bit here. Fully supported by ownership in this world could mean, hey, he has the latitude to spend on, you know, scouting the minor leagues and paying for those things. Basically the ability to allocate his budget as he wishes is at least what my early read on it would be. I can't say that for certain just because of what this ownership group has been for so long. The other way that you can read into it is, hey, he'll be able to spend whatever he needs, whenever he needs. Frankly, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily where he's at right now.
Spencer, the ownership group was represented on the dais. Mark Lerner was the only of the three up there that ended up speaking, and he was only asked two questions, but he was able to give some comments for the first time in a long time about the commitment of ownership to the team. He guaranteed that they would get back to where they should be. What did you take out of, you know, his few remarks today?
Yeah, again, I think part of what I take out is what wasn't said, right? I don't think what was said, you know, maybe matters a little bit in the sense that, hey, as you said, like, we want to get this place back to being the way that it used to be and, you know, get it back to being a winner. But what wasn't said is, hey, we're ready to, you know, make a strong financial commitment, or, hey, we have a plan in place, or, hey, we want to do X, Y, Z. I think a lot of that speaks to the reporting we've done at the Post in terms of what the situation with ownership is and that they're not necessarily aligned on everything. Again, I think it's a great first step that the, you know, the learners were up there, that they were transparent and visible. But maybe transparent is the wrong word there, because at least for me, I'm taking more away from what wasn't said than what was.
Yeah. When will we know in this regard, Spencer? I mean, it's a big first step, honestly. I think they already proved something or put a deposit in the bank by going to get Paul Toboni, right? I mean, they hired the search firm. They found the young, you know, whippersnapper up-and-coming candidate, both the pocket protector and the scouting background kind of merging into one in the exact kind of executive I think a lot of fans and folks like me were excited about. So that's a good first step. When do you think we'll know that sort of the proof is in the pudding, where they go, you know what, they are going to do what it takes to compete at the highest level? Not necessarily a Mets payroll, but more than, you know, a July Pirates lineup.
Yeah, I think it's a gray area, right? Like, if we find out in the middle of the season that, hey, they've started to spend on getting more scouts or getting more analysts or whatever, like, that is kind of the year one step that at least I'm looking at. The year two step is, hey, say they take a step and win 76 games next year, and they've done everything at the coaching staff, and they've hired the right people. Really, it's next offseason if they start to spend, is where I start to look at it and say, okay, are you really making the sort of financial commitment that it demands? But at least in the short term, I'm looking at, hey, are they increasing the number of people within the organization, and are they making the kind of right hires and investments there?
So along those lines, just to kind of dig a little deeper into that, I'm with you on the paying for players next offseason. What should the blueprint look like for this offseason, or what would be kind of how you'd go about this, how you think they should go about this?
Yeah, again, it's a little tricky to say. The easiest answer is start to pay for some pitching. Again, I know they have to do a much, much better job of developing that, but there really aren't very many starters in the organization who are healthy and ready to pitch in the big leagues next year, who have any sort of stuff. I mean, really, it's Cade Cavalli in terms of starting at the start of next offseason. Outside of Cade Cavalli and Mackenzie Gore, I'm not really sure who that is. I think you probably, I don't want to say you have to float Mackenzie Gore in trade conversations, but I think you at least have to listen when teams call. I think that, you know, whole concept is going to get brought back up this offseason. But really, pitching is the number one area where I think there's major room to grow, both in terms of getting leaders for the young guys and just getting some guys with some sort of stuff in the organization.
What's good here? Like, in other words, like, there's got to be something that enticed a guy like Paul Toboni to come. Obviously, we could talk about a couple of the young pieces, but there, what sort of nuts and bolts make him go, yeah, I can build this house?
Yeah, well, and again, it's a little confusing, but I think that the main point that I take out of it is, A, one, there's only 30 jobs in all of baseball you can do this. Two, he seems like a really, really smart guy. And if a guy who was able to kind of revolutionize what they do in Boston, you can read any of the articles, you can talk to anyone over there, really played a very integral role in what they've done reshaping things. If he's been given the latitude of, hey, the farm system, player development, all that, it's yours to play with. It's yours to do whatever you need to do with. You don't need to answer to anyone. You can kind of do what you need to do. I think that's really enticing. And I don't think every organization would have given the latitude to say, hey, player development is all yours, or hey, scouting is all yours, or hey, you can run this in your vision. Again, I don't know about the financial assurances that have been made. Those questions were kind of dodged by both Toboni and ownership today. But if he's been given the latitude of, hey, you can spend X amount of money within wherever you need to, or hey, you can make whatever hires you need to, I think that that's probably really compelling for a guy who probably, if he had waited an offseason, would have had other teams lining up to hire him.
Spencer, thank you for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
You got it. Read him in the Washington Post. Does a good job covering the Nats. All right, speaking of the Post, their Commanders beat reporter joining us now to talk football. Deshaun Reed is with us. Deshaun, thanks for the time. It sounds like we've got a developing Jaden Daniels return happening here. Dan Quinn making it seem like all systems are go. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it looks like all signs are pointing towards him making his return against the Chargers this week. You know, hometown trip for him. You know, being from San Bernardino, playing in L.A., he's going to have a ton of family and friends there. I think he was itching to play regardless of who they're playing, but especially this week, he's ready to get back out there. And he was full go at practice today. He still does have a brace on that injured knee, so they're, you know, being cautious with it, giving him some extra protection. But he's able to do everything they wanted to see him do before they put him back out there. And so, you know, definitely going to protect himself, make sure he doesn't put himself in unnecessary harm's way. But it looks like he's going to be out there on Sunday.
How much better did he look today than he did maybe a week ago versus and 2 weeks ago? Kind of the growth there.
Yeah, I'll say it's been more of a jump from 2 weeks ago. Last week to this week hasn't been that much of a change. But initially, when he first got out there, you could see he wasn't quite moving how you're used to seeing Jaden Daniels move, you know, sort of that explosiveness, the lateral movements. You know, and I'm sure he also was just taking it easy not to aggravate the injury, but it looked like he was himself again today. You know, will they run him as much as they usually do this, first game off the injury? Maybe not, but just in terms of how he's moving out there, he looks pretty good to me.
What's the latest on Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, still sort of ambiguous what's going on there. You know, I know there's been some conflicting reports. You know, the team has been adamant it's a quad injury. NFL Network reported it's more of a hip injury. Nonetheless, he wasn't at practice today, and he wasn't at practice last week either. And so unless he's able to get back out there, you know, tomorrow, it seems like it'd be pretty questionable and doubtful whether he's going to play on Sunday. You know, it was kind of a strange play, you know, that long catch he had against the Raiders. I don't think people paid much attention to it, especially with the game being out of hand, but that ended up being, you know, where he got injured. And I thought the receiver room in general has stepped up pretty well in his absence. I thought Debo had a good game last week despite the loss, and you know, Luke McCaffrey had a touchdown. They obviously need him back out there, you know, especially going against a tough defense. But it seems a little bit, you know, kind of questionable whether he's going to be out there this week just based on him not being practicing today.
Defensively, this is the first time we've kind of gotten to see everybody after just a pretty poor performance this past Sunday. What was kind of the conversation, the thoughts, the vibe of that defensive group that's looking for answers?
Yeah, we keep harping on it, but it keeps happening every week, so we're going to keep doing it. But it's the explosive plays, right? Like, they keep getting gouged for these huge chunk gains through the air. I mean, Michael Penix, you know, at one point he was averaging like 12 yards per attempt, which is just insane, you know, at the NFL level. And it's not just one guy. I know a lot of people are focused on Lattimore, but the entire secondary really is struggling right now. And even at linebacker, you know, Bobby Wagner had a really rough playing coverage lineup against Bijan Robinson. And so it's been all bad for them on the back end. And the Falcons took advantage of that. And also, the ground game, broken tackles was a big issue. And they've given up quite as many explosives as in the past game, but they aren't good in that area either.
Deshaun Reed of the Washington Post is with us on Grant and Danny. Deshaun, are you still with us? I think your phone was cutting out there for a second.
Sorry, you got me.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit, but we'll see if we can get the phone dialed in. I want to ask you about the running back situation. They're running the ball really, really well. It doesn't matter who they're handing it to, so maybe it doesn't matter that much, but I want to see more Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Could this be the week for that?
I think they're still sticking with that running back by committee approach. I know fans have been itching for Bill to get more touches, but they're spreading it around, and I don't really see that changing. We saw Chris Rodriguez have a long run last week. Before that, it was Jeremy McNichols, and so I think they're going to keep with that approach, and it's going to be whoever the hot hand is. Like, if it is Bill, you know, they're not afraid to feed on the ball, but I don't think they're going to go with that bell cow approach that people want.
Deshaun, appreciate you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
There's Deshaun Reed of the Washington Post. I want to sneak in a couple quick thoughts on the Capitals on this blitz. The lads played last night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win 4-3 on the road. They're 4-0 this preseason, which in and of itself doesn't mean a lot. But I will say, Danny, they've had a lot of firepower from the young kids. Last night, Andrew Kristol scored another goal. He's had a great preseason. Ilya Protas, so that's Alexei's little brother. They call him Little Pro. He's actually gigantic.
Wee Pro.
Ilya Protas with a goal as well. There's going to be some really tough roster decisions. They're starting to sprinkle in the veterans. Connor McMichael's had a great preseason. Last night we saw Tom Wilson play for the first time, and he had a Gordie Howe hat trick in him, period, and change. He got into a fight, protecting I thought it was a pretty bad hit, actually, on Ivan Mereshnichenko last night. But Willie got into the fight, dropped the gloves. He had the goal. He had the apple. He was very productive. It's been a great preseason so far for the Capitals.
How real are the contributions from the kids? Because I've done this before, and then we get into the regular season, whether it's, you know, Laviolette pulling the strings, whatever, and it's nothing but veterans, and, you know, the kids kind of get buried. I'm thinking of the Leonards, the LaPierres, some of the young guys. In your mind, how real are their contributions going to be this year?
So, I mean, you saw last year that they were real, right? Protas became a star. McMichael became a star. I get the question, and I get the point. I think you're right. It's the NFL preseason when you see guys flash and then September comes around. It's like, where are you? What happened to the 7-for-77 in August against the other guy that isn't going to be on the team? I think this kid, Andrew Kristol, is offensively so gifted and is going to just stockpile points in the NHL. He's very, very small, but he's extremely capable with the puck, and he's been able to finish early this preseason. He's going to be really good. Ilya Protas, Alexei's little brother, is going to be an exceptional NHL player. I think he's going to be a talented guy for a long time. A lot of the other guys I'm not as convinced on. You know, the players they need a little more out of, that now you're talking about 2-3 seasons of kind of back and forth, the Hershey in the minor leagues, guys like Hendrix LaPierre. Last year struggled while everyone else around him that was his age took flight. He did not. He ended up back in the minors. And then we've heard for a couple of years now about Ivan Mereshnichenko. He's still very young, in his young 20s, mm-hmm. but you know, he and LaPierre are the two guys that they need to really make the leap. But I think overall, if you're talking about kids this year that could help and who's real and who isn't, Kristol, who's now scored a couple goals in these four games, Protas, who scored last night and had a point, had a shot on net that ended up in the back of the net, his only shot of the game. I think those are guys to monitor. Both of them need some seasoning still in the league, but at least one of them, I mean, maybe Kristol could make the roster. Kristol almost forced his way onto the roster as a teenager last year. He just can skate. He can get up and down the ice. He's a good little player.
Who would he bump out? If he makes it, who doesn't?
Yeah, that's the big question. I mean, he'd probably be on the third line, I would think, to make that work as a wing. So it would just be one of the other young guys. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's LaPierre or Mereshnichenko or somebody like that. But they're going to make the bigger picture decision based on options and age and you know, some of the contract stuff, too. Not just, like, the quality of the preseason. But four games in, four wins, and the boys are scoring a lot of goals. 1 week from tonight, they get started for real against Boston. Next on Grant and Danny, a star quarterback in the NFL has been ruled out of his team's game this week. We'll tell you who, and we'll get into making one change going into this Chargers matchup. What would it be? This is The Fan.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. One game has gone final in the Major League Baseball wildcard round today. The Cleveland Guardians have forced a game three by beating the Detroit Tigers. It's a 1-1 series in a best of three. So kudos to Cleveland, who came all the way back to beat Detroit from 15.5 down in the AL Central.
Still one of the wildest things.
Then they were down 1-0 in the wildcard. It would be fitting if they had to come back in that as well. Game two of the four being played today is underway with the Padres leading the Cubs 1-0 early on at Wrigley Field. We'll keep you abreast of everything going on in Major League Baseball.
You know, since this new format has started with the expanded wild card, no team has ever lost game one and then gone on to win the wild card series.
So meaning lose game one and then win games two and three.
That's correct. Crazy.
Right. Yeah. So
we'll see if the Guardians can pull it off.
This has been since 2022 now.
Okay, so it's newish, but yeah, even still, you would think at some point
somebody would have, you know, run into the ace, and then the other two guys weren't as good.
It's not like you're down 3-0. You lose a game, you know that, and putting on your shoes just kind of happens each day. So you could go out there and win games two and three. That's a good nugget. The 49ers have ruled out Brock Purdy for Thursday Night Football tomorrow night, the game that kicks off Week 5 NFC West clash. This is a old school Redskin staff that I followed, a matchup that I love. You got Kyle Shanahan's 49ers, Sean McVay's Rams. Winner gets to 4-1. Goes without saying the Rams are way better positioned.
They're in a better spot, yeah.
I mean, you're without your starting quarterback if you're Kyle Shanahan. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They're without a lot more than just Brock Purdy. They are the walking wounded every single year this happens. And it's just happened earlier this year than it used to.
Have you seen the betting line for this one?
I have not.
So this number opened much closer than it is now. What would you say?
Based on Purdy?
I'm not sure if it's based on Purdy, if it's based on injuries, if it's based on where the action is.
I would have said, just watching the two teams last week with their injury situations, the Rams would have opened a 3.5-point favorite, and I'd say it's up to 5.5.
So it opened Rams by 1.5.
Okay.
So maybe a little closer than I thought, but I would have said 2.5, whatever divisional
that
game.
That honestly doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I think the Rams are a lot better than the Niners right now, but I'll take it.
7 or 7.5, depends on where you look. Touchdown and a hook.
So I don't understand. Was the 1 point this week, or was that the look-ahead line like way back when?
That's when it opened.
Okay. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, a look-ahead line being a pick'em game like a couple months ago when everybody's healthy for both teams. Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? But within the last few days, somebody thought this was a pick'em kind of game? That surprises me. Also, where do all the points come from that have changed hands here? I mean, Brock Purdy's not worth that much. Jaden Daniels missed two games, and he was worth a couple points. Brock Purdy's worth 5.5 points.
Seems pretty wild. Well, when you add up Pearsall, I guess, and
that's
Jennings,
what I'm
too.
There are other
still,
injuries.
That's 6-point swing is pretty wild.
Have they ruled out Ricky Pearsall?
I believe so.
So they've ruled out possibly no. Here we go. Purdy, Pearsall, Jennings, all out, according to Adam Schefter. So there's your points right there.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver one, wide receiver two, quarterback one. Yeah, enjoy your scheduled victory, LA Rams. Roll the football out and find a way. I mean, at this point, even if you don't play well, you get to 4-1. This is the great fortune of this league. This is what I'm talking about, though. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. If you got San Francisco in week 2 or maybe in week 12, you got to play one of the best teams in the NFC. You get them on tomorrow night, on Thursday in week five, when they're without everybody. Still no Brandon Ayuk, by the way. So the best three organizations, wide receivers, and the starting quarterback aren't there among all the other injuries that we haven't even gotten into. Yeah, you go beat San Francisco. That's a pretty easy thing to pull off, I would say. Wow. That's tough for Kyle and the crew.
How is that? I'm blanking on the narrative. I was trying to look it up while you were talking. Which way has that rivalry gone? Is it McVay that owns Shanahan or the other way around if Shanahan owns McVay?
No, I think it's the other way around.
It's McVay?
I believe.
Yeah.
No. I think Shanahan owns McVay.
It's that one?
I think.
Because I remember it was like weirdly lopsided despite everybody agreeing with both everyone involved has acumen.
Well, it looks like it's shifted. So McVay has won the last three, but I think what you're referencing was there was a time when they had won 9 of 10.
Yeah.
Shanahan had beaten McVay in 9 of 10. The only Rams win was a 20-17 kind of at the horn 2022 game. But the last three since then have been Rams 21-20, 27-24, and 12-6.
That's why I couldn't remember.
They have also benefited from some injuries along the way, but they swept them last year and they beat them in the last game the two teams played. I guess they played them in the play. They beat them in the final week of 24, and then in the two games in the regular season last year. So, yeah, three straight for the Rams. All right, I wanted to get back into the Commanders here, and here's the question I wanted to tee up, Danny. We got Barry Sferluga coming on in a half hour. I want to get his thoughts. We can ask about Daniels' return in Washington, in L.A., but also want to talk about Toboney. He was at the press conference today as the Nats introduced the new team president. If you got to make one change going into this game with the Chargers, what would your one change be? You'll only get one. We'll open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067.
We're blitzing more. We're already talking about Washington, one of the top 10 blitz percentage teams in the NFL at 27.7%, according to Pro Football Reference. Okay, right around there with the Giants, Jets, Raiders, etc. My point is, I need to know and understand that if the ball leaves the quarterback's hands, it's doomsday for me. If he gets to throw it on time, I'm done. I have no answer in the back end. I have no personnel. There's nothing I can do to adjust. I'll try my best to fix a scheme here and there. Maybe I'll stop treating Marshawn Lattimore like he's any good and, you know, offer help and rotate my coverages and try some different schemes and the like. But I need to get home. If I don't, I'm getting burned. The fear of blitzing in this modern era, because it used to be that's what you did to every quarterback. You hit him, you blitzed him, that's it. Well, once you have Manning and Brady and then Breeze and then, you know, handing it over to the Mahomeses of the world, blitzing is usually a death sentence, right? Because you're afraid if they pick up that block or they pick up that blitzer, there's, you know, one extra guy roaming free. There's extra space. Guys catch and run. It's big plays against you. I got news. The big plays are already happening. At least I'm going to go down fighting. At least I'm going to go down trying to create one of those turnovers that happens. I'm going to try to get the quarterback off his mark. I need to disrupt him, even if it means I'm going to get burned, because my point is I'm already going to get burned. After the next 3 weeks, I want to be ahead of the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Minnesota Vikings in terms of my blitz percentage. It's not going to fix everything, but it's going to help me do a little bit of something to maybe generate a turnover here and there, even if I get burned sometimes.
So my change, and I don't think this is going to make a massive difference in the way of outcome. Like, oh, you would have won games if you did this. I just think if you do this more over the course of the season, you're going to have a lot more success. I am going to start feeding the ball to Jacory Kroski-Merritt more often than they do. Doesn't mean Jeremy McNichols never touches the football, who's got 10 carries this year. And it certainly doesn't mean that Chris Rodriguez doesn't get work. 18 carries, 98 yards, 5.4 per pop. Over the last two games, he's been effective since he got elevated from the practice squad. But he has more carries than Jacory Kroski-Merritt does in the last two games. First two games, he was inactive, didn't get a uniform. He's just sitting and watching in street clothes. Two games he's been up for, they use him more than they use Bill. I'm just going to recalibrate how I break down the pie chart among the running backs. Because the three guys that I have, it's basically Jacory Kroski-Merritt at a 50% carry load on the season with McNichols and Rodriguez combining for about 50%, and it's like 30 to 20 roughly between those two guys, like a 50-30-20 JCM, C-Rod, McNichols on the carries this season between the three of them. But again, that's with two games where Rodriguez wasn't getting any carries and Kroski-Merritt at 14. So the last 2 weeks, it's essentially like a Rodriguez 50%, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, 42%, Jeremy McNichols, 8%, or something like that. I'm turning up the faders on JCM. I think he's explosive enough that he will create big plays. He will hit a double, a home run here or there for you. And I think that the key for them is going to be to possess the football more, stay on the field more.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means some longer drives, then so be it. It's not necessarily that I want to run the ball. I'm not the run the dang ball guy. If you guys listen to this show over the years, you know that. I am a do what works guy, and they are really good at running the ball. Right now, Krosky Merritt's averaging 6 a carry, and Rodriguez is averaging 5.5 a carry. What they've done has been effective. So I'd like to just get more balance, and what I mean by this is giving the ball to your best players. That's what balance is. Call me Mike Leach. This week, there's no Terry McLaurin. So I don't have to worry about balance where it's like 30% Debo, 10% McLaurin, 10%. So you know what? McLaurin's out. Okay, who's my next best player? Debo gets the most touches. Krosky Merritt's next on the list. Who's after that? Jalen Lane or, you know, Luke McCaffrey? What does that look like? But JCM's going to carry the ball more moving forward. That would be my tweak.
What do you think it looks like? Like, it's Grant Kingsbury. Is it 12 carries, 15 carries? Like, I think they're worried about him being banged up and making it through because he didn't play football last year, basically, other than one game. That's maybe my best guess as to why it's gone this way.
I don't think it's that. You could be right. I think it's that they don't trust him in pass protection.
I think that's part of it, too. Yeah. I think it's not. Let me rephrase. Not part of it. I think that's a huge part. I think it's 50-50.
How many carries am I divvying up? And I'll give you a number.
Let's call it 20 carries.
Okay. 20 between the three. I'll go 14 or 15 for Bill. 4 or 5 for Rodriguez. 1 or 2 for McNichols. McNichols out of the gun, catching them with a draw, you know, in the right mm-hmm. situation, down in distance, 3rd and 17 to set up a field goal when I get 5 or something to get to the 34-yard line or something. Or McNichols to salt the game away and, you know, a power situation if you want to do that. But, yeah, I just believe in get the ball to your best players. I think this guy is their best running back. I don't think it's particularly close. It's not a knock on Rodriguez, who's been good. It's not a knock on McNichols, who I think has been very, very solid. But I believe this guy carrying the football is explosive and exceptional. I just want to see him more involved. Shane's in D.C. What's up, Shane?
Hey, what's up, Commander Danny, Lieutenant Grant? How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, look, you said it right on the head. Feed Bill. We need Bill the football. I believe against Atlanta, if that had been Bill. But let me tell you something. Chris Rodriguez is a load. I've seen him play 4 years at University of Kentucky.
He can play.
And all he does is fall forward. Go ahead.
No, he can play. I'm co-signing.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
No, he's a baller.
And I tell people, I had him actually getting about 750 this year. I thought he was going to win the starting job. But, you know, the pass pro is a big thing right now, especially with a young quarterback. And this offensive line right now and pass protection is got to be a question mark right now, how they're just juggling right now. But run the ball. You win by running the football. Set up play action, RPOs. That's what our system is. And without Terry, you know, we got to run the football because, you know, I take that back. I don't want to blitz because the reason why I say that is because our corners are trash. I don't want to leave them guys out there on the island. Lattimore, I'm done with him. I was done with him and got here. I think now what we got to do is we just got to score people, and that's running the football. Give Bill the ball. Let's go, Bill.
RTDB. Not run the dang ball. It's the Toby Altizer acronym. Run the dang Bill. That's what he wants, a little more Bill. And I'm with you. I totally get it. By the way, here's my problem with the blitz philosophy. And yes, I want to see more aggressiveness. I do think they need to mix in more blitzes. They've mostly this year, you gave the numbers, they've done it fine. But the last two games, way more conservative. And this past week, they just weren't willing to. The problem with blitzing is that there are way fewer bodies on the back end to play zone.
Absolutely right.
There's so much more air in the defense. So either when you blitz, you play man, and you leave your corners basically in isolation, which your biggest issue with the defense is Marshon Lattimore doing that. Or you're playing zone, which is better, but now you just have way fewer guys to clog up areas. So there's just a lot more operating space if you don't immediately get home. I happen to think this is a week with this Chargers line where maybe you can win quickly if you blitz and dial things up correctly. But that's something to consider. Like, you're plugging holes in the dam, so to speak. As soon as you start blitzing, you're asking for more out of your corners who, I'm just putting words in your mouth here, you don't trust.
Totally. I don't trust them at all. My point is I don't trust them on regular dropbacks. I don't trust them when there's time, when there's not time.
Understood.
To me, the ball comes out, you're done.
I get it, but I'm just saying, normally, if you don't trust your corners, the last solution is to blitz more.
Well, and that's why they stop blitzing. That's why they let Michael Penix be more comfortable than anybody. My point is, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down aggressively. And the thing I come back to that maybe people don't agree with is, if they do it the way they just finished doing it, they're done. Like, they're going to be cooked by every quarterback. And the only way to stop it right now is to hit the quarterback. So I'll take my chances.
I'm with you that if you play the game you just played against Atlanta in coverage and defensively, that you will lose almost every week and quarterbacks will get real comfortable real fast. But I just think that was largely a response to the fact that they couldn't get any pressure rushing their front. And so what I would say to that is, I just think you got to win with four. Or with five. You got those guys have to win. That's the solution here. And if they can't, well, then we need to stop talking and save a lot of breath because nothing matters. And then you can't do anything. Then what is it that you even say you do here? But to me, that's the formula. I don't win so I don't have to send extra guys so I can help our cornerback room out if you're Joe Witt. 800-636-1067 is the number. You get to make one change for the Commanders going in to this Chargers game. You're listening to The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Commanders have the Chargers on Sunday. Week 5 kicks off tomorrow night with the Rams and the 49ers. Brock Purdy's been ruled out. So is Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. Could be an ugly one for that San Francisco offense. Go get him, Mac Jones. No pressure, backup quarterback.
Good luck to you, pal.
That is a preseason offense that they're trotting out there. You're sitting all your starters? Nope, they're just not available. Question we're asking you guys, you get to make one change going into the Chargers game after a bad loss, what would it be? 800-636-1067. Tweet us at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny. Mine's on offense, actually. It is time to start handing the football to Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt more. I posted all of his runs from his last two games on Twitter after the fact at Grant H. Paulson. Go back and find those. It's just a great watch. I mean, this guy gets more out of every single opportunity. Something's blocked up for three, he gets seven. Something's blocked up for six, he gets 16.
All the ingredients that I like with guys that run the ball. And again, the pass pro stuff is going to come, I hope. And you know, his ability as a receiver, I care more about. But as a running back, I want vision to, and then once you have the vision, you need to do something about it, right? Whereas even if Brian Robinson saw it, he would go, well, there went that. I'm still heading in this general direction. I can't turn. He's got the quickness, the burst, enough power to be able to kind of explode through a weaker contact. He has it. This is what it looks like to me.
And I know that the running game is working, but this is no different than in the past where we've sat here after a couple of weeks where McLaurin's got five combined targets and we're going, please involve your best players. This guy is your scariest player with the ball in his hands. You're doing the other team a service every time you're handing the ball off and it's not him, as far as I'm concerned, the way he's running right now. So that would be my fix. Yours is on the other side of the ball.
Blitz. They blitz a decent amount. I think they're 11th in the NFL in terms of percentage. My point is, if you play it the way you're playing it, you're getting torched. You're getting torched regardless. Your only chance is to create a little chaos, a little havoc. Maybe you get home. Maybe you tip a pass. Maybe you get a quarterback off his line a little bit. You hit him enough times. Maybe you get some of those turnovers. They only have 1 through 4 games. They're sitting back trying to protect their corners. Nothing you can do. You could drop 11 in coverage. You still would get torched. You're getting torched anyway. Create some chaos.
Let's go to Drew in Alabama on the Fan. Hey, Drew, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. You know, I was in Atlanta, but I also watched a little bit of the Giants-Charger game, the reruns of that this week. And I think the Giants have figured out how to beat this Charger team, and that's to make Herbert uncomfortable. So I'm right with you, Grant. You know, you got to knock Herbert off his spot all day long. That said, I think you do more of that up front. They have two injured tackles, and we need to bring the heat with 4 or 5. And, you know, if we need the blitz to get to them, we have a problem that's going to not go away all year. So I do think it's the game is going to be won by how much duress we can put Herbert under. But and I'm up for dialing up a blitz, but we do that a lot. I think our D-line has to execute. And I would do as much stunt and twist and game planning against the weaknesses of that Charger injured line as I could.
Well said, all of it.
I like that call a lot. Yeah.
Run some games, do your TEET stuff. You know, surprise and confuse these tackles that don't have a lot of experience that are getting thrown into the fire here. I've cited the stat a few times, but of the 3 tackles that they're going to play in this game, they all rank in the bottom 9 among tackles this season in terms of holding up and pass protection. I mean, this should not be a game where you have to blitz. I'm not opposed to doing it. Anything that results in Justin Herbert getting hit and Justin Herbert being uncomfortable and Herbert not being able to stand there is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL through a quarter poll of the season? Sure, do it. Absolutely. Got pressured 21 times last week, 50 times the last two games. This is someone who has the 6th highest completion percentage in the league with the 5th most air yards per attempt in football. Please knock him off his mark. But you got to be able to do it rushing just your defensive line. And if you can't, when you invested basically a first-round pick at 36 overall in Johnny Newton, who barely plays, De'Ron Payne makes all of the money at defensive tackle. You know, these guys should be able to get up the field. That was the idea of both of them. That's the whole point. You brought in Von Miller. This is a game where I think Von Miller should have a sack, sack and a half, you know, 4 or 5 pressures, 2, 3 quarterback hits. Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so instead of Jowitt's coffee, say we replace it with some psilocybin tea. Hopefully becoming one with the universe will allow him to see the matrix unfold before it occurs, and we can get some stops. Now, in all seriousness, I want to see us run it up on offense. Let's take some deep shots, you know, definitely run, set up some play action, and let's get a nice big lead early. You know, be aggressive with JD back. I know we don't have too many weapons at wide receiver, but take some shots downfield, put some pressure on them to, you know, get behind, and then hopefully tee off with our defense.
Can you explain the coffee tea thing to me? I didn't get that.
Yeah, you know, just to replace your coffee with some psilocybin magic mushrooms, and by doing that, you can become one with the grass and the sky. By doing that, you can then predict the future of what the offense is going to do so we can have the right defensive game plan. Super innovative. A lot of teams aren't even thinking about this stuff, but I think it's the next wave of defensive, you know, technology. So just be on the lookout for this. Probably like,
is this a pop culture
psychedelic
tea?
I don't get it.
I'm not understanding.
Is it the tea that Hansel just... and had in Zoolander? Where they were all spacing out and stuff?
I've thought too much about it.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Kevin in Lanham. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
What's going on, Grand Danny? Love you guys, man.
Appreciate
Thank you. Do you like tea?
Yeah.
I'm drinking some tea right now. Not the kind that Bargoff
Delicious
has.
Delicious tea.
No, not that tea. Okay. Hey, look, man, rain down fire. I'm tired of the conservative defense. We can't cover a sandwich even if we put zone coverage. I'm tired of them staying in the zone with six people in the zone and people are still receiving the ball. I want to die on my sword, play man, and send more than they can block on every down because nobody can cover anybody. Lattimore, I'm done with him. He's done. We might as well have St. Juice again. I don't care what they see in him. Right now, nobody can cover anything, so you might as well get to the quarterback before he can get the ball off. But y'all need to stop playing this conservative defense. Stop rushing four people because it's not working. Rush on every down, please.
That's the Remember the Titans, Coach Yost. We will blitz all night. Let's go to Mark in Bethesda. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, fellas. The guy ahead of me basically described what I was suggesting.
About the mushroom tea? Is that what you were going to talk about?
The mushroom tea?
No, they can't play zone anymore. They got to stop with the zone. They're getting picked off in the soft areas, you know, in between the linebackers and the secondary. The bottom line is they got to play man, take the risk, play man to man, put Frankie or Bobby up front, alternate the two of them and send five and see what happens.
Appreciate you. Last year they played man at one of the higher rates in the league. I have to look it up, and I'll get it for people.
I think it was
people.
A little under 30%, if memory serves. One of the higher percentages. It was under 30.
But regardless, whatever it was, like the percentage is not as relevant as where they rank among every other team.
Yep.
Because, standalone, the percentage doesn't really matter, right? But they ran it at one of the highest rates of the NFL, and I don't think that's that different this year. That's what Joe Witt wants to do. They ran more man in camp. He talked about running more man into the regular season. In the first game, I know they led the league in the NFL against the Giants. So this idea that like they're just playing zone constantly and they never play man, I don't know if that's true. I got to look up the numbers at where they rank this season. But they've certainly been more conservative. There's no doubt about it the last couple of weeks, and it backfired in a big, big way against Atlanta. Barry's for Luga. We can get his thoughts on how big a game this is for Washington, the difference between 3-2 coming home and 2-3 with losses in consecutive games and 3-4 at that point. If they can't beat the Chargers. But he was also over at Nats Park today as they introduced the new president of baseball operations, a new era of Nats baseball set to begin. What does he make of that, and what did he think about what Mark Lerner had to say about recommitting to the operation? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.